President Barack Obama's budget request for fiscal 2015 adds critical details to his second-term management agenda. It describes customer service initiatives at the IRS and the Social Security Administration, plans for a new civilian property realignment board, and ways to make federally funded data more widely available. Federal News Radio's executive editor Jason Miller joins us with details. Hi, Jason.
Good morning, Tom and Emily.
All right, Jason, so what do we learn from this budget request about the second-term management agenda?
It seems like we've been talking about this for about 6 months now, which is back in July is when President Obama first announced these initial ideas around the second-term management agenda. Now, finally, there are some specifics around these initiatives. So the OMB says the management agenda is focused around four themes: effectiveness, which is the idea of delivering faster, smarter services to citizens and businesses; efficiencies, which means increasing the quality and value of the government's administrative functions; economic growth, which ties back to putting data and research more to the public to help spur innovation and growth; and then the people and culture piece, which is ensuring federal workforce is ready to take on the mission needs. Now, Beth Colbert is the Deputy Director for Management at OMB. She describes some of the programs around each of the pillars.
The budget includes initiatives to deliver these better, faster, and smarter services to citizens and businesses by supporting critical customer service improvements at the Internal Revenue Service and the Social Security Administration. It advances the administration's effort to modernize the infrastructure permitting process, cutting through red tape, allowing us to get more construction workers on the job faster, and achieving better outcomes for our communities and the environment. The second key component of the management agenda is efficiency. This means increasing quality and value in our core operations and enhancing government productivity. We will pursue initiatives to streamline the way the government delivers services internally and continue our ongoing efforts to enhance efficiency and savings. For example, the budget focuses on expanding the use of strategic sourcing solutions and shared services, streamlining core administrative functions that nearly all agencies use, like human resources, IT, and finance. For example, in 2015, we'll be transitioning HUD's core financial management functions to the Treasury Department in the largest financial management shared service arrangement established to date.
Now, along those same lines of efficiency and effectiveness, the budget also includes the request by the administration to Congress to submit proposals to reorganize agencies through a fast-track procedure. Now, this is something OMB has tried in the past before and Congress has rejected. The other thing that they're looking at is reducing improper payments and real property disposal to long-term efforts. Beth Colbert says agencies have reduced the improper payment rate to about 3.5% in 2013, and that's down from about 5.5-6% back in 2009. OMB also is conducting a comprehensive analysis of agency-specific corrective actions to identify programs that have the highest return on investment and potential for other reducing improper payments as a way to shape future guidance. So that's an ongoing activity right now. Now, under the Freeze the Footprint initiative, the administration will actually start putting out a dashboard of sorts to track how the government is ensuring that they're sticking to this real property baseline of about 730.2 million square feet. Now, this includes office space, warehouse space, anything that's considered real property. Now, Colbert also says the budget includes a $57 million plus up to start the Civilian Property Realignment Act and create an independent board of private and public sector real estate experts to make recommendations to Congress on properties that could be sold, consolidated, co-located, reconfigured. Colbert describes one more initiative under the economic growth pillar.
As part of our commitment to opening up economic opportunities for all, we are committed to opening up government assets as a platform for spurring innovation and creating jobs. We want to open up the fruits of federal-funded research and development, including intellectual property and scientific publications, to the wider public, and empower the ingenuity and creativity of citizens and businesses. For example, we propose increasing funding at NIST and at the National Science Foundation to help take ideas out of the lab and into the marketplace.
Those two ideas there, one, the National Science Foundation would develop a repository where the public can access articles by NSF-funded researchers. NIST would receive $6 million to accelerate and expand technology transfer across the government to enhance competitiveness and share innovations and knowledge from federal laboratories.
All right, Jason. So, by the way, we're speaking with Federal News Radio's executive editor, Jason Miller. Key part of the management agenda is always the IT, the technology spending. What are they proposing for IT in 2015, up or down?
It's going to go down just by a little bit, though. The IT request in 2015 remains around flat, but down to about $79.1 billion, which is a few billion dollars less than the 2014 enacted budget of $81.4 billion. Most of that decrease is going to be attributed to the Defense Department, whose budget request around IT dropped to $35.4 billion in 2015. That's down from $37.6 billion in 2014. Civilian budgets remain about the same at $43.7 billion. And we have all those figures on federalnewsradio.com, so if you didn't write it down, don't worry about it. You can go find it right there. The other piece of all this is cybersecurity. It's a big top-line figure. OMB says agencies will spend around $13 billion on cybersecurity in 2015. That includes technologies, people, other resources. Stephen Van Roekel is the Federal Chief Information Officer. He says the three pillars of the IT remain the same: driving innovation, delivering return on investment, and more cybersecurity.
The Department of Labor will be investing funds to open critical economic statistical data and key economic indicators through improved access to data, making it easier for application developers and innovators to use this data. Increasing quality of shared services across federal agency is one of several strategies for delivering return on investment in federal IT. For example, in FY15, the Small Business Administration is shifting email, calendar, contacts from an in-source model where SBA owns and operates a heavy on-site infrastructure to federal cloud-based email-as-a-service shared services offerings from GSA for significant operational efficiencies, cost efficiency, improved infrastructure, improved capabilities, and improved mobile workforce capabilities.
Van Roekel also says they're shifting to the IT Oversight and Reform Fund that's going to replace the integrated, efficient, and effective uses of IT.
This fund will support the development and implementation of solutions and tools that not only can be shared and scaled across government, but also can deliver measurable and quantifiable outcomes. Additional strategies to improving the design, development, and delivery of digital services may include standards and policies to drive a more effective citizen experience, improve tactics to measure customer satisfaction and performance of federal digital services, and solutions to increase technology talent inside government. Much like the IU at work in the last 2 years, we'll be exploring ways of using the collective strength of government to focus efforts on effective mission outcomes.
Now, in fact, the change to this IT Oversight Reform Fund actually happened in Congress as part of the 2014 Consolidated Appropriations Fund. In fact, Congress was the one who renamed it. But what Van Roekel says is they're going to use this new fund to and borrow from the experiences of the Presidential Innovation Fellows and also bring in other help, other experts to help solve the healthcare.gov website problems. That's all going to be kind of part of this new fund. He says more details about this new effort will be available in a few months.
Switching gears here, Jason, and talk about the federal workforce. We know that the president has proposed a 1% pay raise. What else is he trying to do there?
I think the people and culture piece of this pillar of this management agenda has really been taken for granted, not just by this administration, but by probably all previous administrations. So, yes, the 1% pay raise is in the budget. The White House also wants to improve training and employee engagement. Sylvia Burwell is the director of OMB. She says the president recognizes it's been a rough couple years for federal employees, without a doubt. She says that's one reason why several proposals, to, for instance, to change pensions or health benefits, are not in this year's budget. Now, OMB's Beth Colbert offers a few more details on the training and leadership initiatives.
We want to ensure that we retain an engaged, well-prepared, and well-trained workforce with the right set of skills for the missions the government needs to achieve. We want to invest in leadership development so that those who guide our agencies can create the best work environment for their teams and deliver the best results. And we want to recruit the next generation of federal leaders, sustaining our workforce so it can continue to do the work of the nation for decades to come. The budget invests in government-wide enterprise training and resource exchanges so agencies can share the good work they're already doing in employee management and learn from each other's programs. For example, we are launching pilot projects to look at improving recruiting and hiring. The goal of these pilots will be to increase diversity, reduce skill gaps, and improve organizational outcomes.
Now, the budget proposal would also offer a look at a few other things. For instance, it would offer a series of reforms around the Federal Employees Compensation Act, which would generate about $340 million in savings over 10 years. They're also calling for modernization of the Federal Employees Health Benefits Program, the FEHBP, that would save nearly $2 billion. And they're also looking at, among those reforms would be streamlining the pharmacy benefit contracting plan, which is something that I've talked about in the past. And they're also looking to add the Self Plus One, or what they're calling the domestic partners, to the FEHBP, which would open up a new way for people to get insurance. So a lot of things in the budget that we will follow up and see what Congress says about it.
This Federal Employees Compensation Act program, in other words, that would reduce payments for those that are disabled by injury when they reach retirement age. Is that what would happen?
Yes, I think this is the one that they found a lot of fraud, a lot of waste in, and they're saying, okay, we need to make this program better and make it more accurate and make sure it's helping the people who really do need the help.
And this idea of adjusting employees' premiums based on wellness, does that mean if you are well, your premium goes down, or if you're sick, your premium goes up?
I think that's still to be determined. I think that's something that OPM will probably have to come up with regulations for, you know, very similar to what we're seeing with, you know, phased retirement or something else. That's an idea. Now, how would you implement it? That's something we'll have to wait and see.
The White House left it kind of vague then.
Of course. I mean, it's a budget, right? This is just the first salvo in a very long marathon of ideas and back and forth. Or some people are saying, you know, the budget's already dead on arrival. So we'll have to see what Congress really does pick up and run with.
Well, if it's a marathon, you're at the head of the pack. Jason Miller is Federal News Radio's executive editor. Thank you much for that roundup.
Always a pleasure.